As Christians around the world celebrate Easter with all the traditional festive elements and the excessive amounts of candy, it's important not to forget the religious and spiritual foundation that this day represents: the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which fulfilled biblical prophecies. Just as the life and teachings of Jesus have been discussed, debated, and by some even denied, physical item has inspired and provoked debate as well. With us now is an author, journalist, and screenwriter whose study and investigation of the Shroud of Turin, I believe, provides one of the most honest, insightful educations into this artifact and its history. The result of his years of work is the book, The Truth About the Shroud of Turin, Solving the Mystery. More recently, he's also the author of Target Patton, The Plot to Assassinate General George S. Patton. We say good morning to Robert K. Wilcox. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you back here. I spoke with Robert when The Truth About the Shroud of Turin first came out back in 2010, and Robert's website is robertkwilcox.com. When you sit down with a topic such as the Shroud of Turin, only because the debate and the denial far outweighs and outmeasures the history of the item. I mean, we're talking about one item, and you just want to make you can draw all these lines of different attacks it's received, both through elements of fire and floods, into science, and to ignorant denials. What did you set out to do when you sat down to write The Truth About the Shroud of Turin?
Well, that's a great question, because it has been through all those things, and I just wanted to lay the case out, and I was sincerely seeking the truth on this thing. I'm a journalist by trade, and you know that's what. And I love good stories, and I love mysteries, and this is a big one. And I was also brought up as a Protestant, and had always heard of Jesus, you know, and believed that he was our deity. But you know, that stuff's not really, really impounded scientifically or anything. And suddenly, when I heard, and this was a long time ago, the truth about the Shroud of Turin, the book that I wrote, is actually my second examination into it. I wrote a book 30 years before, while I was a religion editor of the Miami News, which was the first real popular book on the Shroud of Turin. And so we've had a lot of developments between then and now. When they took the Shroud out again just recently, that's 2010, I decided I'm going to go back and look at everything again, see what happened. And, of course, the carbon-14 had been in the middle of that, and that carbon-14 really threw a wrench into everything. Those people who were either agnostic or believed in the possible truth of the Shroud were really knocked for a loop. But it turns out the carbon-14 was faulty. It was not right. They tested a patch of this 14-foot linen cloth way, way down at the bottom of it, and it turned out it had been patched in the medieval times, and so, of course, they would get a medieval reading. And that's one of the things that comes out in my new study, is that we've had more than a century to figure this thing out, and we haven't. It is indecipherable. The burden of proof is on the doubters now. And, you know, people just hearing about it get the idea from the press that it's sort of 50-50. Well, I can tell you for sure that amongst those people who have studied it, and especially, and there have been commissions and so on, it's like 99-1. There's really only one or two people who have studied it, and are publicly known and have spoken out about it, that say that it's a fake. It isn't a fake. We don't know what it is. We do know how the image, what the image is. We don't know how it was made.
In a way, I mean, there might be a better analogy to make of this, but regarding the deniers, The Shroud is almost a parallel with the JFK magic bullet theory, that everyone wants to support that, but no one's ever been able to duplicate that part of the assassination. The same thing with the shroud. Everyone says, well, here's how it was faked. Well, sit down and show me how it's done then. No one's been able to do that.
Exactly. And they've got a big problem now because, you know, the more they study it, the stranger it gets. Let me just quickly tell you what is the essence of the mystery at this point. As I said, they know what the image is. And just briefly, on this cloth, when you look at it, the actual cloth, it looks kind of funny and everything. But when they took the first photographs in 1898, they discovered that what was on the cloth was a negative. That's why it looks so strange. You look in the negative of that cloth and you see a corpse in rigor mortis. Well, what makes that image? And they've gone through theories that it was some sort of chemical and so on. And but here's what they're dealing with. In 1988, there was a commission finally allowed of scientists from around the world, including Jews, atheists, everyone, every type. They just wanted to look at this thing, and they did so. And their testing revealed this, that the image is made by each individual fiber that makes up the image. Not every fiber makes up the image, but every one that does is changed, for lack of a better description, in exactly the same way and in precisely the same way. If you think of a human hair, think of the top of, from the tip of it down to the middle of it, being, changed in some way. The best description now is some kind of heat, kind of heated it up, like if it got a little changed on the outside, but in the inside it's not changed. So whatever did this, and it changed it exactly the same on millions of fibers that make up the image on the, and it is the image is actually made from clumping those fibers together. The more clumped together they are, the darker is the image, and the least clumped together is the lighter, until you get into the areas of the cloth where there is no image. Now, those scientists could take a space age type analyzer. It's called a VP8 image analyzer. They could put that on that cloth, and they could read the image, just like we do in our computers and software. And they read it, and they could make a three-dimensional image of the man in the shroud out of it. That's how precise this image is. How in the world could anyone have done that in the Middle Ages or before? Where are other types of images like that? There is no other thing in the world like this. And that's not me talking. Those are scientists talking. So those who say it's a painted fake, it's really absurd. There's no brushstroke. There's no paint. It's these precise changes on the individual fibers. You take a brush, Chris, and show me how you can do that in millions of fibers in exactly the same way. And if you're going to use a paint, it's wet, and it doesn't even get inside of the fiber. It's amazing.
Truly, as we're talking with Robert K. Wilcox, his book, The Truth About the Shroud of Turin, Solving the Mystery. More recently, he's also the author of Target Patton, The Plot to Assassinate General George S. Patton. And you can get all those books, of course, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, your favorite online means, his website as well, RobertKWilcox.com. You listen to Issues and Ideas. Do a little CSI on the situation, too, when you look at the blood splatters, the blood flows on the shroud, which are also part of the image. Someone back in, let's just assume that someone tried to fake this in the 1500s. No one had that kind of working knowledge.
Absolutely not. The detail is so fine. You can see the separation of serum and cellular mass in all of the blood stains. And by the way, the blood is different than the image of the corpse in rigor mortis. And countless doctors and pathologists have looked at this, and they declare absolutely this is an image of a corpse in rigor mortis. You can see swelling from the hits, and of course it's just like it's described in the Bible. And here's another fantastic deviation from what a faker would have done, and there are many of these on him, he has the crown of thorns. But it's not the wreathlet we always see. It's the cap. It's a cap, which is, in fact, what rulers would use in those ancient times. The nails are not in the hands like we always see in the picture. They're in a little area of the wrist called destos space. You put a nail through there, and it'll hold up. They've done this with corpses, and if you put a nail in the hand, the corpse, the weight of the corpse will just slip it right through. It breaks through the hand. But you put it in this space, and it holds there. In other words, whoever put this nail in knew what they were doing as far as crucifixion goes. The man in the shroud is naked. This is certainly not something, of course, he has his hands over the private parts, but this is certainly not something that any faker would have done. Because what was the point of it? It was to get people to come and pay homage and money to see this thing. You would never in the Middle Ages have done that. There are many of these deviations, and the realism, as you spoke of, is just amazing. The arms are outstretched, and yet they're pulled back. As I said, over the loins. And yet, when you look at the cloth and look at the picture, it looks like the blood flows are flowing up the arms. And then, when you put your arms back, as it would have been when he was crucified, you see that that's why they look that way. They're actually flowing down the arm, but when they're folded in front of him, they look like they're flowing up. This is the kind of realism that you spoke about that no one would have known.
And also, too, a lot of people forget that the image is of the front and the backside of Jesus. When you look at the entire shroud, we always just see in any of the published photos, at least the front view of the body. But it's a complete, and even something that simple of aligning a back and a front would have made a forgery back in the 1500s even more difficult to do.
Absolutely, yes. The cloth is 14 foot length of linen, and it was wrapped from head to toe rather than mummy style around. And it's very interesting that there is an inexplicable mystery involved in that, because however that body got out of the shroud was not unwrapped. And the reason is that those blood stains hardened into the cloth, and if you had taken the cloth, like presumably anyone would have, to take the body out of it, you would have pulled it up and then rolled the body out, and that would have done it. But you would have ripped some of those blood stains, and in fact, the blood stains are like pictures of blood, although they have been authenticated as real human blood. But if you'd have ripped this thing off of it, it would have left the borders of those blood stains all messed, and they're not messed. So somehow the body got out of the shroud without it being unwrapped. And that is a colossal mystery.
Wrapping our time with Robert K. Wilcox, The Truth About the Shroud of Turin, Solving the Mystery. He's also author of Target Patton, The Plot to Assassinate General George S. Patton. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You had the opportunity in one of the, we'll call it a press junket, is a popular term, that to see the shroud back in the 70s and take photos of it. And there was a point where you realized, wait a minute, all these lights going on and off, the TV cameras with their big lights, there's no glare. And you went to touch the glass, and there was no glass. What's it like when you touch the shroud?
Well, at that time, I was just primarily interested in getting pictures of it. And at that time, I had the first color photographs ever of the Shroud of Turin. But, yeah, I was at a private showing. I was just lucky enough, it's all just one of those things, to have gotten in. I wanted to write the book. I called the people who were most involved in it, and they said, yeah, you might want to come over because we might get a private showing. So there I was, and I'm taking photographs of it, and I'm wondering, you know, why isn't something reflecting off of the glass? And it and I got up there, and there was no glass. And the reason that's important is this shroud, as you pointed out, Chris, in the beginning of the interview, has been through so much. It's been through floods that we know of, floods, fire, and people who want to destroy it. Just a few years ago, someone ran into the church and tried to bomb it, and it was literally miraculously saved. Well, I'm sitting there saying, you know, there's no glass in front of this thing. Well, but to be truthful with you, my only thoughts were, you know, you can't see the shroud well when you're that close because the image is so delicate, and it's a negative, so it doesn't look as good as when you look in those negatives. So I was just amazed that they didn't have it covered. But you know, none of us were going to throw a bomb.
And last question: we've been talking about the blood on the shroud, and how it was authenticated that it was actual human blood. Has anyone ever done a DNA test? Because I'm thinking with the databases we have worldwide of people's DNA, you might actually, at least in theory at least, be able to build a Jesus family tree.
Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's up there for possibility. I've read, and I think I discuss it in the book, that there are those who think that the DNA would have somehow been destroyed through this, through some process that and just maybe the incredible journey the shroud has made. But I don't know. I've also read that some people think that yes, it can be done, and I think that's in the future. You know, the church only now has taken possession of this thing, and that's a very good point, by the way. I think the Vatican never would have gotten behind it. They're taking it out again next Easter to show it. They're definitely, if they thought in any way it was a fake, they would have denounced it.
Really? Yeah.
They're very covetous of this, and frankly, throughout the years that we've been debating all this, their attitude has been, we don't care whether you believe it. We're not going to give you a shred of this to destroy with all your testing. Well, if they can do DNA without destroying part of the cloth or part of the image, for sure, you know, it's something that could be done, and I think we're going to hear more about it.
Book is The Truth About the Shroud of Turin, Solving the Mystery. I want to recommend Bob's other book, In Target Patton, because the historical story of the death of General George S. Patton, the car crash and a natural death that followed, versus the facts that Bob uncovers in Target Patton, two very different stories. And just like with The Truth About the Shroud of Turin, in Target Patton, Bob also backs up the theories or quote-unquote conspiracies with the facts and the actions and even the actors. So if you are a history buff and a military buff, Target Patton is one of the books you definitely want to add to your must-read list, along with, if you haven't, when it first came out, or came out the second time, 77, then 2010, and learn more about the truth about the Shroud of Turin. That's why the book is titled what it's titled, because it is the truth about the Shroud of Turin, Solving the Mystery. Learn more about everything of Robert's work at robertkwilcox.com. And Bob, you are one of the true journalists that provides the facts and educates people, and not enough people do that, but glad you're here still doing that. Thanks for the jobs that you do with your books and for being here this morning.
Well, thanks a lot, Chris, and thanks for having me on. You're doing the same.